You're listening to the Namely Marley Podcast, episode 15. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Namely Marley Podcast. I'm Marley. This podcast is dedicated to living a creative, healthy, and passion-filled life. My goal is for you to say Namely Marley is for Namely Me. Today I'm sharing my interview with author, chef, and food blogger Kelly Senye. Kelly is a professionally trained chef that's based in both Los Angeles and New York. Can you believe that? I will never complain about my commute again. Today, Kelly and I are talking about her passion for all things food, lifestyle, and entertaining. She blogs at justataste.com, she's an on-camera host, and she's also the author of the book Food Blogging for Dummies that was published in 2013. But before we dive into that interview with Kelly, let's talk about tips and tricks. I recently discovered The Skim. Have you heard of it? It's a news feed delivered directly to your email daily, and it provides a nice short snippet about the important stuff going on in the news. It even has a kind of fun, twisted style of delivery that I really like. Here's the deal. Sometimes the news can be quite a downer. Sorry, news, but it's the truth. You really need to work on your personal appeal. But that doesn't mean that we, as the listener or the reader of the news, we don't want to, just because the news is depressing doesn't mean that we don't want to stay up on current events. I think it's really important to know what's going on in the world. So, to be completely transparent with you guys, I would tell you that I mostly have gotten my news lately from the Huffington Post, also the Daily Show. It's a great source of news, actually. I really like the short abbreviated style of the news that's offered through the Huffington Post, but it just seemed like lately it was, every time I was going there, it was more like, side boobs and celebrity stuff. And I don't know, I just hadn't been going to the site as much, and I kind of started to feel like I was falling behind on what was going on in the world. So, side note about the Huffington Post, I really do love their food section. So I'm a regular visitor to check out the latest recipes or trends in food that are going on. But anyway, I found The Skim, and now I feel informed again, which is great. So I'm not depressed because they have, that kind of fun style of delivery of the news. But it's really a good place to, I feel like I found a good fit for me. So I'll leave the link in the show notes page so you can check it out too. Okay, it's time for the interview with Kelly Senye. Kelly and I, we talk about a lot of stuff today, like food photography or creating an editorial calendar, the joy of cooking, and how to turn your food blog into a business. So if you're a food blogger, or if you ever thought about starting one, or hey, even if you just like food, you are going to love this podcast. Let's dive right into the feature segment. This is episode 15 of the Namely Marley Podcast. Bring it on. Thanks so much for being with me today, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. So you and I have something in common. We're both food bloggers, and that means I have so much I want to talk with you about. But first, I wanted to say, ask you a question. How did you get your start with all of this?
Absolutely. Well, I kind of have had food as my passion for as long as I can remember. One of my earliest childhood memories is actually baking cookies in the kitchen with my mom. I was just 2 years old. So from the moment I could kind of hold a spatula, my mom always had me in the kitchen with her. And I think that's what really kind of got my whole passion started for food. And then it kind of grew into food media. So I started my site Just a Taste about 6 years ago, and since then I've been to journalism grad school, I've been to culinary school, I wrote a book, I've had a lot of awesome experiences in the food media world, and now I'm running Just a Taste full-time and absolutely loving every minute of it.
That's so exciting. So you got into this and you thought, I really love this, and that's when you decided to go to culinary school?
Absolutely. I thought it was one of those things, if I really wanted to do this seriously as a career, I wanted to be able to not only write about all the various aspects of the culinary industry, but if somebody were to ask me a question or if I was interviewing chefs, which I did as part of my job when I worked at Condé Nast and do restaurant reviews and all that, I really needed to know, details and, the finite intricacies of techniques and ingredients and sourcing of ingredients. So going to culinary school for me was really a great way to kind of hone my culinary skills, of course, but also to become really credible in this space.
Yeah, I think that's probably an important feature that helps you stand out, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah, and going to culinary school was honestly one of the best decisions I ever made. It gave me so much confidence in the kitchen, and it really helped me. I went to culinary school in New York City, and so, of course, you know, food media is a huge industry there. So it really gave me a chance to get introduced to some people now who are lifelong friends and also great mentors in the space.
Yeah, and that's another thing I really like about that is, you know, it's like in some ways you were kind of following a passion.
Absolutely. It was funny because I never thought I could be, you know, in the food media. Like, I never thought I could run my own site as a career. I always thought, okay, it would be a hobby. It would be something I would, you know, do on the side. It's really fun. It's what I wish I could do, you know, 24 hours a day. But I never thought I could really get there. And so I've been very fortunate just kind of laying the groundwork over the last 5 years that a year ago I left my full-time job to pursue Just to Taste full-time. And honestly, it was the best decision I ever made was to do that because I just love it. I wake up every morning and I'm just cannot wait to get started.
Oh, that's great. You know, there's a Mark Twain. I believe it was Mark Twain. You know, I'm from Missouri, so I love to quote him. And I think it was him that said, if you love what you do, you don't have to work a day in your life.
My dad says that to me all the time. Because
oh, maybe it was your dad people. Then. That's who heard that.
I'm one of those obnoxious people that love to work. I love it. I'm so passionate about food and sharing that passion with other people. And I just love it that so many people can do that in the food blogging space. You know, you can have a blog of any size and you can do it as a full-time job or it can just be a hobby, but it doesn't matter because that little niche of the online world is yours. And that is so awesome to me. I love that there's no barrier to entry, you know, to get into the space.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's so nice to know that, you know, people are, it's basically their own business at some point.
Absolutely. And that's what I worked, you know, like that was my whole goal was to get to a place where I could be running the site full time. And you know, it did not happen overnight. I always tell people that, like, I've had this site for 6 years now and I was only comfortable, you know, just with the amount of knowledge that I had gained over the last 6 years working in the food media industry that I could finally kind of go off and do this on my own and kind of know, you know, that it had the potential to be a success.
Well, it sounds like you were doing a lot of other things as you were blogging, too.
Yes, absolutely. So when I was in culinary school, I went to the Institute of Culinary Education in New York City, and I had an unbelievable experience there. And right before I started, I actually pitched the president of the school. I just randomly emailed him. I don't know where I got this confidence. I said, Rick, my name is Kelly. I'm going to be a student there in the fall. I noticed that you guys don't have a blog and that you don't have, you know, you don't have a presence on social media. I would love to launch the official blog for the school. I'll take photos. I'll chronicle my whole experience as a culinary school student. I'll do all of your social media. And he emailed me back almost instantly. And he said, because I said I was coming from, you know, journalism school and I was doing this to be a food journalist. And he said, is this for real? Can you hop on a call? And it was one of those things. I was so happy I like took that risk. So I started the blog for them. I was in school full time. I ended up being at the Food Network then for my stage. In order to graduate from culinary school, you have to do like an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. I was in the Food Network kitchens, had an unbelievable experience there.
How cool.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And I was on my last week there of my stage. We were working on Iron Chef. It was amazing, like incredible energy. And I got a call from Condé Nast that they were bringing back Gourmet in digital form as Gourmet Live. And that led to 3 amazing years at Condé Nast as an online editor. And I also did all of their kind of television and videos and all of that. And was at Epicurious then and finally decided, this experience has been amazing, but I'm so passionate about Just to Taste. I've got to do it full time. And so that's where I'm at now.
But wow, that gave you a lot of great experience seeing the, you know, the underbelly of the publishing world.
That is so true. That is so true. And I am so thankful to have that experience and then to apply all of those things I learned to my site now.
How cool that all started from the fact that you made this, you know, the word that comes to mind is impulsive, but I'm sure you put a little more thought into it than that. This email and all this probably resulted as from that.
Oh my gosh, I could not tell you. You look back on life and there's like, you could have gone left, you could have gone right, mm-hmm. and your life would be totally different. And I always think back to that moment when I hit send on that email and just thinking, oh my God, I'm so glad that I just put myself out there and went for it, because I have learned that now, you know, since that moment, like, if there's something you really want, you have to go after it and you have to ask for it, and no one's going to give it to you, and you have to work your butt off.
Yeah.
And you have to earn it. So I'm so glad I made that decision, and it really did, I think, set me up for everything else that's happened over the last 6 years.
Yeah, you know, I have an MBA, it's funny because I always think back on my finance class, which is wasn't one of my favorite classes, but I did. The professor said this thing I thought was really profound, because he said oftentimes the investment that you make that has the greatest risk also has the greatest reward. So that kind of makes me think of your story. Yeah.
I love that. Yes. And my dad's an entrepreneur. And I think that's honestly between his entrepreneurial background and my mom's just love of cooking, those two things kind of came together, both became my passions. And I took that risk. And I am so happy that I did.
Well, can you share with me your monster cookie story? Because I just think it so it explains why we do this food blogging thing.
Absolutely. You mean just, is it being one of the, or like how Just a Taste got its name, or
well, I think it was on your site somewhere that you talked about how it was one of the first recipes that you made, and that it turned into this thing that it's like one of the most popular, you know,
yes,
posts on your site and gets shared so many times.
Yes. So the whole reason I started Just a Taste was I was in journalism grad school at the time, and I was on working in hard news. So I was doing politics, and I was doing, all these kind of really hard news stories that were emotionally draining. I was based in the South Bronx, and it was a wonderful experience, and I really learned how to be a great reporter and a great journalist from all of it. But I would come home every night and cook as just a way to decompress. And people kept asking me for my mom's recipes. My mom is an unbelievable cook. She has these baby back ribs, which are off the charts. She did these monster cookies, which honestly to this day are one of the most popular posts on the whole site. And so I thought, you know what, rather than continuing to email everyone these, you know, recipes, you know, Word documents literally, I'm just going to put them up on a site so I can send them a quick link, and I'll throw some photos up there so they can see what it looks like. And one thing led to another, and now there's over 500 recipes on the site. It has just become my absolute baby. I live and breathe Just a Taste. And the whole name Just a Taste actually came from my grandmother, who's a great cook as well. She says there's always room for just a taste of dessert. So I'm a big believer in moderation, that you should never skip out on dessert, even if you just have a little piece of chocolate or something. So it's definitely been kind of in my family blood that, you know, food and entrepreneurialism, and I just kind of put those two things together.
Yeah, that's an interesting food philosophy too, because I think it's easy to create, you know, oh, desserts are bad for you, don't ever eat them, but eating them in moderation is so important.
Absolutely, and that's what I tell people, kind of like the unsexy kind of whole goal behind Just a Taste is moderation without elimination. So I don't believe in putting anything on the do not eat list. I don't believe in diets. Like, donuts are my favorite food on the planet, and if I feel like a donut, I'm going to eat a donut. I'm not going to eat, you know, a whole box of donuts, but I'm going to eat one, and I'm going to enjoy every single bite of it, and that's where Just a Taste came from.
That's great. And I love it that it came from your grandmother, too. That's very cool.
Yeah. I literally jumped out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning when that came to me. I was trying to think of a name for the site. And I was thinking something with my name and a Kelly's Kitchen and all this. And I was like, oh, Just a Taste. And so I hurried and looked, and I ended up having to buy the domain name from some guy in Germany. I asked it for like a Christmas present. And I'm so glad I did. I had the foresight to do that. So. Yeah, it's come a long way in the last 6 years.
That's great. You know, I talk to a lot of people who it seems like their career paths meander over the years and go in different directions. But you seem to have honed in on what you've wanted to do from a young age. Was there ever a time you thought maybe you wanted to do something different?
Honestly, looking back, all through college, I would host dinner parties, and I was constantly baking, and I went to undergrad for communication, so I always knew I wanted to be in the journalism field. I thought about going into sports reporting. I'm a huge sports enthusiast. I love football, baseball, basketball, you name it. I'm a total sports fanatic, and I just never thought it would be possible to pursue food media as a full-time career, especially, you know, 10 or 12 years ago when the industry wasn't as big and booming as it is now. You know, it was kind of, I was the oddball in my class that was really into food. Even when I was in grad school, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, food was not what it is now in terms of the presence and the power that it has in media. So I just kind of stayed the course because it was all I was honestly interested in. Anytime we were given an assignment in grad school for a story, I would somehow get food worked into it. You know, food would somehow become the angle. And one thing led to the other, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to pursue it. This is honestly all I care about, all my passion. And it worked out, which is very lucky.
I bet people liked making friends with you.
Yes, I know. All my professors always said how fat I made them. And I was like, oh, but you enjoyed every bite, didn't you?
But see, that's another great thing about food is it creates such a sense of community.
Absolutely. And that's what, honestly, one of the things I love about working in the food industry is when you go to like a party or an event or anything, anyone and everyone can have an opinion about food because we can all eat and we can all, you know, cook to some degree or like to cook to some degree or even just go out to a restaurant. But everybody can talk about food. You know, everybody can have an opinion on it. And that's what I love so much is it just connects people on such a universal level that everybody can have a say. And some people turn that say, you know, into a blog, and some people are just avid cooks and never take a photo, you know, a day in their lives. But regardless, I just love that it's so inclusive.
Yeah. Your food photography is just amazing, stunning. And I'm just curious.
Thank you.
Did you take food photography in journalism school or photography in general?
I did not. No, I'm actually entirely self-taught in both photography and food styling. Of course, I picked up some amazing tips when I worked at Food Network and also at Gourmet Live then. I watched food stylists in action. Never really had a chance to try my own hand at it there, but just kind of watched and just soaked up everything, you know, every single little tip that I could, and just practiced and practiced and practiced with both the styling and the photography. And, you know, that's kind of my comfort zone. That's my calming place. Like right after we do this interview, I'm making a leftover cranberry sauce and apple crisp. And I just, I cannot wait to get into the kitchen. I put the music on. I just kind of zone out and it's my happy place for sure.
That's one thing I have to agree with you. I love food photography as part of my day because so much of my day, I end up sitting in front of the computer, and I'm a really physical person. I like being up and about and moving, and food photography. Man, I break into a sweat when I'm doing it. It's work.
I have to wear workout clothes. Yes. I mean, it's almost embarrassing. It's like, yeah. I don't go to the gym half the time because I'm sweating so much by the end of it. It's like, forget it.
Yes, it's not something I expected from that, but I love it.
No, I know. I always joke, and I wrote a book called Food Blogging for Dummies, and there's all these references to, like, contorting your body. I mean, I'm climbing up on things. I'm leaning over. I'm balancing. I've got one arm doing this, one arm doing that.
Yep.
You know, it's like a sweatband on. Because
Because you're running back and forth, you know. You got the scene set up what you think you want, and then you look in the camera and you think, oh, that's got to move, and you're constantly going back and forth. And
exactly.
Yes.
Major League food styling, I'm telling you. It's a new sport.
Yes, I love it. We could start a workout book.
Exactly.
So what's your camera you use?
I use a Nikon D7000, and I oftentimes shoot with an 18-105mm lens. I like to be super close on the food.
Yeah.
You'll notice in a lot of my photos, I'm not real big on props. I love the food photographers who stage these amazingly gorgeous tables with all the plates and all that. And I'm a big entertainer myself, and I love to do all of that stuff. But when it comes time to photographing food for the site, I really pride myself in the step-by-step photos. Every single recipe on the site has a minimum of 4 photos with it because I like people to be able to cook along and have visual cues because, you know, that helps everybody out. And maybe it turns out the way it looks on the site, maybe it looks slightly different, but at least you have some sort of gauge. So I shoot a lot of photos. I probably shoot, oh my gosh, maybe 100 to 125 shots per recipe.
Only
because I'm stopping every 10 minutes in the cooking process to take a photo. And a lot of those photos don't end up making it on the site because honestly, it would be 90 photos per post.
Yeah.
But I like to capture every single moment that's critical in the recipe so that people really have a sense of, you know, what it should look like throughout the process.
And then do you put those into like one collage or they're all separate photos on the...
I don't, they're all separate photos, and, you know, people can kind of follow along with the recipe. Sometimes I'll reference, you know, a certain photo in the recipe description itself. But then, of course, on Pinterest, so many people make all of the photos into a collage, as we all know, the famous collage pins on Pinterest. So those tend to do really well, and a lot of people find the site just because of that you know, how to factor. They like to know, my whole premise is, you know, besides the moderation, is easy but impressive. So anything you find on my site is not going to call for any crazy ingredients. It's going to look like it took 5 hours to make, but it's probably going to take you about 30 minutes. And that goes for everything from breakfast to your dessert.
And that takes time, I know, from the back end for you to be able to take a complex recipe and break it down so that it's easy for people
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I love, because entertaining, I love to entertain, and we don't have, you know, we don't all have six sous chefs and assistants and everyone else helping us when we're throwing dinner parties. So you want to do something that looks awesome, but that also is doable and doesn't totally stress you out. And so a lot of the recipes that I create are for that exact purpose. You can do this for a dinner party. It's going to look awesomely impressive, that you're going to actually have a glass of wine in your hand the whole time and be able to be a part of the dinner party and not just hosting it.
And listening to great music while you're at it, right?
Exactly. Jamming out the whole time. I'm a big dancer while I cook. I'm one of those people. Yes. And I have a little puppy and he's jumping around, you know, waiting for the inevitable scrap to fall off the counter. So
yeah,
it's quite the party here Monday through Friday, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, my favorite times are if I'm in the kitchen and I've got some James Taylor going, I am just one happy person.
Exactly.
How sweet it is. Yeah.
Yep. So true.
So I noticed that you wrote that book, Food Blogging for Dummies, and you mentioned that earlier. And I'm just curious, what was the background that caused that to happen?
Absolutely. So Food Blogging for Dummies was an amazing experience. I wrote the book, did all the photography for it.
Wow.
It's 320 pages. It basically tells you anything and everything you could possibly want to know about starting, launching, and maintaining a food blog. And it's one of those things I get, you know, emails every week from people saying, I'm so new to this space. This is awesome. I was able to get my blog up and running. But then I also get emails from people saying, I've been a food blogger for 6 years or 7 years, and I didn't know X, Y, or Z, and I'm so glad you know you brought that up. It covers everything: ad revenue, you know, marketing the site, which photo sites to submit your food photographs to in order to get more traffic, which hosting, you know, I think is best, and that sort of thing. So I was actually approached by Wiley Publishing, who is the publisher of all of the For Dummies series, which are, you know, there's famous black and white or black and yellow covers,
mm-hmm.
and they cover every sort of kind of how-to angle. And they said, we want to do Food Blogging for Dummies. We saw just a taste. We saw about your journalism background. Would you be interested? And so I spent 2 weeks writing this 30-page proposal, the competitive analysis, you know, how I would market the book and all of that. And I got chosen as the author, and I had 8 months from start to finish, and it was on shelves then about a year later. And it was just an awesome experience. It really gave me a chance to meet a ton of people in the industry and have an excuse to reach out to, you know, some of the biggest bloggers in the space. And so I'm really proud of it. I think it turned out fantastic. And
what a great resource for people just starting out.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And people, you know, I still get emails. You know, the book was out about 2 years ago now. I need to be 3 years. That's bad. I don't even know that. Mm. But I still get emails from people saying, I just picked up a copy of a book. And it still thrills me to like walk into Barnes & Noble and see the book on the shelves. And I just get the biggest kick out of it.
I bet.
Experience. Yeah.
Well, and I noticed that you've got some of your recipes and photographs have been published in things like People Magazine and O Magazine and Better Homes and Gardens too, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was on People.com, the Oprah Magazine, Better Homes and Gardens. I've done a lot of work for them. They're fantastic to work with. Foodnetwork.com. I've really been very lucky and fortunate to get some applause from some of the, you know, all of the sites in the magazines that I love reading on a daily basis. So I've been very, very lucky and appreciate, obviously, all that love.
It's a great thrill to see it in print,
yeah.
I'm sure. Yes. Yes. So I noticed that you mentioned earlier that you travel between two different cities, and not just two different cities, Los Angeles and New York. That's quite a big gap. How do you, you know, keep your life straight?
Yeah.
How do you do it all?
Well, I love it. I lived in New York full-time for 6 years before I kind of relocated to the L.A. area, and it's amazing because the food scenes are so different on each coast, and it's been a really interesting and fascinating kind of adjustment to understand the West Coast food scene in contrast to New York and the East Coast, and I mean, I have so many friends there, and I still have so much business there, so I just you know, make the time to go back and forth. And I went to school, obviously, in New York, both journalism school and culinary school. So I have a lot of friends and mentors still there. And so I just kind of balance both. I love going, you know, back and forth and staying in touch with people all over the place, because palettes are so different everywhere and trends are so different. And it's just been really interesting to see, you know, what ingredients kind of fly in LA versus New York and how things take off.
Yeah. Do you ever feel, you know, harried? And I mean, how do you finally, you're sitting down at your computer and you've got these, you know, 50 things you've got to get done. How do you, do you have any productivity tips that you use?
I'm a big believer in only flying on airlines with Wi-Fi. I cannot waste 6 hours on a flight without internet. I will have a panic attack if yes. I land to 250 emails. I can't do it. So I only fly on airlines that have Wi-Fi. Honestly, it sounds like a crazy tip, but it is life-changing. So that's huge. And I'm so scheduled. I think one of the biggest tips I took from working in the publishing industry for so long is to really have a strict editorial calendar. And I work very far ahead. So, you know, magazines have an average of a 6 month lead time on everything they create. Obviously don't work that far ahead because I like to stay very much on trend. So let's say an ingredient pops up or something, you know, goes viral with some sort of technique. I like to be able to adjust my editorial calendar and jump in and do my spin on those things. But like right now I have recipes all photographed, shot, ready to publish for like the next month and a half. And so I really pride myself on working ahead and just sticking to an editorial calendar so that I can really plan out and think strategically, okay, this recipe is going to be great here, or you know, this trend is happening now, so I'm going to publish this then. Like for example, right now, these last 2 weeks, I've been all about Thanksgiving leftovers, because at this point, most people's, you know, Thanksgiving menus are set and they're just kind of, you know, kind of reading, being online, and then eventually they're going to be looking for ways to use all those leftovers.
Right.
So it's just kind of thinking like that and really tuning my brain into what readers are looking for, because ultimately I just want to be useful to people.
Oh, that's great. I my friend Dana with Minimalist Baker, I don't know if you know that site, but that's what she does. She works ahead, and we got together a couple of times and talked, and she, you know, it's been a great inspiration for me because I have not worked that way. I've always, you know, kind of working on the fly, and this whole idea of working ahead. So I've started being more purposeful about that. And I love it. It gives me such a sense of freedom in the day.
It so does. And let's say something comes up last minute, like life is life. Random things happen all the time.
Right.
I like to feel calm, cool, and collected. Okay, the posts are done for next week. Even if I have to take the next 3 days off for, you know, whatever reason, you know, the sites, there will still be fresh content on the site, no matter what. Thursday mornings, Monday mornings, Friday newsletter, there will always be new content on the site.
Yes, and that's, it's a relief not to have that pressure. It kind of, I think it almost kind of releases the creative juices too. It makes me feel more creative in my writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I make all my recipes multiple times between cross-testing. If I don't like the photography on something, I'll reshoot it. I shoot with all natural light. So luckily in California, we are pretty blessed to have sunlight all the time. But some days are cloudier than others. Some days, you know, I just don't like the way something turned out, so I'll reshoot it. And I just like having the freedom of the time to do that.
Right. Whereas if you're under the crunch, you might be tempted just to publish anyway. And, you know,
Exactly.
Well, I found that it also requires a little bit of self-discipline because, so let me just confess to you that I went ahead and worked ahead a little bit. And then I woke up with this idea, you know, of a recipe, and, you know, it was timely. I had to interject it. And I, you know, I thought, I had this plan. I didn't even stick to it.
Well, but that also gives you the freedom to kind of roll with the punches. And so let's say something does come up, you know, you can move things. Like I'm constantly moving around posts. Like if something turned out really well and I've teased it on Facebook and there's a ton of traction, you know, people are already talking about, well, where's the recipe? I'm not going to hold off a week and a half to publish it.
I see.
It's like hot, you know, I'm going to go ahead and bump it up. So I like kind of having that freedom to adjust my schedule as needed.
Do you have like a WordPress schedule that you use, or do you,
I actually am a huge fan of the Gmail calendar, and I have my Gmail calendar is like a rainbow. It is like the most a hot mess of activity, but to me it makes sense. It's all that matters, and I like that I can see it, you know, from my phone or any other computer, so I keep everything in my Gmail calendar, and that is my editorial calendar, that's my personal calendar. It just kind of keeps my entire life organized.
And then you can easily move a recipe around in there as well.
Exactly. And I like that I have all the holidays plotted on it. So I can see, okay, if Thanksgiving's falling on a Thursday, I'm going to want to run this at least 3 weeks in advance. and just kind of, it's really easy to drag and drop. So I love Gmail calendars for that.
That is great. That is really good. Okay, so yeah. I'm curious, Kelly, what advice would you give to somebody who is just now thinking about starting a food blog?
I would tell them to not wait until they think everything is perfect on their site to launch. A lot of people tell me, you know, I have this site built, I'm all set to go, but, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. I just tell people, just start. Nothing is ever going to be perfect. There's always things that you're going to want to be tweaking and changing and adjusting and bettering. And to this day, you know, there's still things on my site that I'm changing all of the time. But if you don't at least start the site, there's nothing to really work with and mold. So I always tell people, you know, start with, get 10 posts up before you start announcing to the world that you have this food blog, because you want people, the first time they lay eyes on your site, to kind of get entrenched and be poking around and to not just see one post and think, okay, one post, you know, I don't have anything else to read. So have at least a minimum of 10 posts up before you kind of do the official launch. And then just keep working at it and know the things that are your strengths and know the things that you want to get better at. So if you're awesome at food photography, you know, but you want to focus on your writing, just kind of make goals for yourself each week of the things that you want to get better at. And everybody has different strengths and everybody has a different amount of time they can devote to their site too. And I think that's one of the biggest things being in this space, whether you're doing it as a hobby or as a business. We all have different, you know, crazy life schedules and different amounts of time. But at the end of the day, you devote the amount of time you can to it, and don't gauge or, you know, look at other people's sites as competition. I mean, we're all kind of in this together. It's a great community. You can learn from each other. I have some of my best friends in the food blogging industry and who may do the exact same thing I do. So just get started. Know that there are always going to be changes and things that you want to improve.
Oh, that's great advice. My friend Rhonda, she loves to say like best next time. And my interpretation of that is, you know, do your best today and then do your best again tomorrow. And, you know, every day,
exactly.
Just keep doing the best that you can. And that's how you get better at something.
Exactly. I completely agree.
So what's next for you, Kelly? Anything that you can share with us?
Yes, I'm working on some, getting everything set up for next year right now. I'm working on a couple of new options for online video series.
Great.
I've got a lot of fun stuff coming up on the site through the holidays, which I'm very excited about. I also always have plans way down the line. I think I'd love to do a cookbook, so I'm always kind of just, you know, jotting down ideas for that.
Yeah.
As we all know, holiday season for food bloggers is the biggest.
Yes,
so we're heading into that right now.
Yeah.
Which is always fun and hectic at the same time. I'm really excited for next year. I think now that I have a full year of doing this full time under my belt, I've learned so much, and I'm just excited about pursuing some bigger projects for next year.
So, oh, that's great. Okay, just great. A couple of fun questions to end it up with. So tell me, what's the favorite app on your iPhone?
Oh, gosh. A classic, but the best, Instagram. I'm addicted. I'm straight up addicted. I'm late for the Instagram game.
Me too.
So I didn't really get on the whole bandwagon at first. I didn't understand it. You know, it's not a traffic driver yet. So I was kind of just, you know, I didn't know what to think of it. But, oh, my gosh. I spend way too much time on Instagram.
What's your profile? Is it? At Just a Taste?
Just a Taste. Yes. Just a Taste.
Yes. I'll leave the link in the show notes. That'd be great.
Thank you. That would be great.
That actually answers the next question I was going to ask you, and that is, what's your favorite social media platform?
Oh, you know what? I love Instagram, but to be honest, I absolutely love Facebook. I love Pinterest too, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. The thing I love about Facebook, it's like an instant, direct interaction with all the readers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on Facebook. I don't outsource any of my social media. I'm a big believer. I do it all myself just because that's my direct contact with my audience. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love, and that's why I do this. So I sit on Facebook all day long answering questions, you know, responding to comments. There's such a great community on the Just a Taste Facebook page, and everyone very engaged, and I just absolutely love Facebook.
So I love, too, that you can just put a question out there, and your audience will respond. Like, you know, what are your favorite Thanksgiving recipes? And they just go crazy.
Exactly. And I pull them all the time. I say, you know, fill in the blank. I could really use a great recipe for blank. And then, you know, that starts filling up my editorial calendar just by the responses alone.
So do you have a favorite source of inspiration?
I kind of draw inspiration from all over. I love dining out only because I get so many ideas of how to recreate restaurant dishes at home then. And like we said earlier, kind of put an easier spin on them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my inspiration just comes from dining out or just shopping at the grocery store. If I find an ingredient or something, you know, is just in season right now or on sale, I mean, I look for inspiration everywhere.
That's great. That's very, I mean, you're an inspiration to many people too.
Oh, thank you.
And tell me, I know you've mentioned a couple of things, but how can people find you online?
Yeah, so my site is justatheaste.com, and I always tell people I actually put my email address in the Food Blogging for Dummies book and get emails all the time, and I welcome them. I love answering questions. I respond to every single email I get to the absolute best of my ability. So my email is kelly@justatheaste.com, and then I am on every single social media platform you can imagine. On Facebook, you can just search for Just a Taste. I'm on Twitter @JustATaste, Instagram @JustATaste, and on Pinterest is @JustATaste.
Wonderful. Kelly, it's been such a pleasure talking with you today.
You too. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to staying in touch, and early happy holidays.
Yes, you too. Thanks so much to Kelly Seigner for talking with me today. I really had a great time talking with her. If you'd like to learn more about Kelly, you can find her on Twitter @JustATaste. Or head to namelymarley.com/podcast and look for the show notes page for Kelly Seigner. And there I've included links to her site and other things there as well. Well, that's it for today's podcast. If you have something to say about food or food blogging, maybe something in today's podcast sparked your interest, please share it on the show notes page at namelymarley.com/podcast. If you like today's show, I'd love it if you'd subscribe and give it a review on iTunes. This helps the show get discovered by more people. I hope this episode was helpful and inspirational to you. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great week.